Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King MOX.
Back at it on a Gray Bar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Taking you till 8 o'clock, we are going to have Scott Braun joining us in just a few moments. We are going to talk with him all things baseball. He'll join us in 4 or 5 minutes, more like 10 minutes is when he's going to join us, and we'll talk with him. And then later on this hour, we're going to hear from Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs quarterback, for his weekly conversation. We are awaiting the college football playoff rankings, which will come out at some point in the next few moments. And if we get those before this segment comes to an end, we'll certainly pass those along. I think the thing I'm most interested in, we talked a little bit about this with Steve Greenberg last hour. There are so many two-loss teams from, especially the SEC. This is a weird year when it comes to SEC football. And I understand why they have expanded the way that they have expanded. But in many ways, part of the power of the SEC, part of what has led teams to be able to dominate the top of the rankings, have been the fact that every year you're guaranteed to play a bunch of really, really good teams. And with the additions that they have done over the years, and the fact that they still could add one more conference game, and I think they should. There should be playing a PUD non-conference team at in November. And it just doesn't make sense. So I hope they add another conference game, which they can do, and it seems like something they want to do. But I mean, Missouri's a really good example, and Missouri's not the only example of this. They had a very limited opportunity this year when it came to the signature kind of wins. When you look at their SEC schedule, now they went to Alabama, and I don't think anybody expected Alabama to be ranked number 15 when they played that game in Tuscaloosa. So the expectation for that game would have been that Alabama probably would have been a top four, top five, top eight team in the nation, and you can't do anything about that. But outside of that, they've got a game against Texas A&M. And they've just got a lot of kind of middle-of-the-road teams, you know, good, not great teams. South Carolina, who they're going to match up against this weekend, that's going to be a really tough matchup. In fact, I don't think Missouri is going to win this weekend, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. I think South Carolina wins that game. But South Carolina is a good, not great team. Auburn was kind of I don't even know if they're good. Like, they're like good, not great would be the highest level for them. Same thing with Oklahoma, a team that they just barely beat. A Mississippi State team that's really not good at all coming up later on this year. And then Arkansas, I put them under the good, not great category as well. So when you've got all these teams in the league, and there's more randomness to your schedule each year, you lose out on the opportunity to be guaranteed some of these really big opportunities for great wins. Now, the other side of that is, if you go take care of business and you've got a path to the SEC championship game, then you've got a path to the college football playoff that way. And I don't think Missouri has been eliminated yet from the college football playoff. I don't think any of these two lost teams from the major leagues. So, you know, the Alabama at 7-2, Ole Miss at 8-2, Georgia at 7-2, Texas A&M at 7-2, Clemson at 7-2, that Colorado at 7-2, my alma mater, Kansas State at 7-2, Missouri at 7-2. All those teams, it's not an easy path, but I think you can find a path to the college football playoff with those teams. And that's good. That is good. You know, last week, I sometimes say stuff and then I think about what I said after the results of the weekend. So going into this past weekend in college football, I referred to a couple games as like college football playoff elimination games. And the two games that I specifically was speaking about came out of the SEC this past weekend. That Georgia-Ole Miss game, I thought that was a college football playoff elimination game for Ole Miss. And you know what? I would probably stand by that because if Ole Miss loses that game, that would have been their third loss. And then in many ways, I thought the Alabama-LSU game was a college football playoff elimination game. LSU, they're a three-loss team. So I guess I was probably right on all of that. But if Alabama loses that game and all of a sudden they have three losses, is there still a path for them? I mean, they're Alabama. Is there still a path for them to get into the college football playoff? Maybe. If Georgia loses another, if they go lose another game here in the regular season, is there still a path for them to be a college football playoff team? When it comes down to rankings and things like that, I don't know. I've just been watching college football long enough and watched the way rankings go and the human element and all of that. And obviously, again, the main thing is, and there's so many, we don't have that much time left in the college football season, specifically to the SEC championship game. There are so many different things that could end up happening, so many different potential matchups for that SEC championship game that we'll just have to wait and see, and all of a sudden you could have a team coming in and crashing that. And I don't know if I love the idea of the conference champions out of the conference championship games being able to go in and get that first, that bye. You know, we talked to Steve Greenberg about it earlier. There's going to be an ACC team that's going to win the ACC and is likely going to get a bye, and they're just not going to be as good. Like the idea. I know there needs to be value in winning your conference, but I think the value in winning your conference shouldn't be that you get the bye. The value in winning the conference is that you get an auto bid into the tournament. That would be my takeaway on that, because there's going to be some teams. The team that wins the ACC could very easily, maybe even likely, will be outside the top 12. Are they deserving of going and getting a top four spot and a first round bye? I would argue no. Now, for the college football playoff to come together the way it has, all the conference commissioners and everybody had to agree on it. So that gets to a point, and we see this a lot in college athletics, and it's frustrating, where the best situation for the sport, for the game, is secondary to people who are advocating for their respective leagues and who they're paid to. Like if you're the commissioner of the ACC, of course that's what you're going to fight for. You got to fight for your league. That is literally your job, to fight for your league. But sometimes, you know, Mike Gundy's a crazy guy and he says really, really dumb things, the Oklahoma State football coach. But one thing that he said that I did agree with to a certain extent is the idea of there being a college football czar. And if you remember, when he said all those things, he said a bunch of other stuff that I completely, completely disagreed with. But I would agree with the idea that I would like there to be some type of figurehead person who can keep the sport of college football as being the most important things when it comes to decisions that are being made. So I agreed with that part of what, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go, I'm sure if you Google Mike Gundy, college football czar, you can find it. I think he argued that Nick Saban should get that position. And then he said a bunch of other crazy stuff. But I sometimes live in a utopian world, and I shouldn't. But in my utopian world, I would like for decisions impacting sports to be for the best of the sport and not for the best of individual parties that participate in that sport. We'll talk baseball with Scott Braun from Foul Territory. That's next. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on your home of the Cardinals, KMOX. Always love being able to bring on to the program. You see him. You literally see him if you're watching what was Bally Sports, now FanDuel. But if you were watching Bally Sports prior to Cardinals games, you saw the Foul Territory program, which features some former Cardinals on it, including A.J. Pierzynski. But Scott Braun serves as the host of that program. You can also watch it via their different social media channels. But Scott Braun rejoins us on the program once again. Scott, great to have you back on. Always enjoy talking baseball with you. How are you?
Matt, I'm great. Good to talk to you as well. Exciting times, weird times maybe for Cardinals baseball, but excited to get into it. I know it's maybe unfamiliar territory for fans for the most part.
They signed the new TV deal to stay on what is now FanDuel, and they took a 23% cut. And that may sound like a lot, but these other teams that are leaving Diamond Sports all the way, together and are going to, producing on their own through the facilities of MLB Network, it feels like their cuts are likely to be much more than 23%. So with just a 23% cut on TV rights and sports gambling just being approved in Missouri, it feels like over the last week, week and a half, 2 weeks, from a revenue standpoint, the Cardinals actually did all right for themselves.
Yeah, I'm not the expert, and sure, I'm definitely going to be a bit biased because of where the show runs, but at the same time, I say whatever the heck I want. We're an independent show. I don't work for anyone else, right? Our show gets distributed in a number of places. So in my mind, I agree with you, Matt. I mean, if you look at what the situation is for some teams that are under the league's umbrella on the short term, it looks pretty dire because it's not set up to cover nearly the kind of fees that they were getting prior to linking up with the league. So I'm with you. It seems like the Cardinals made a very smart business decision. Of course, the sports betting in the state is going to be super helpful for the Cardinals. And for fans to keep in mind for all of this, they want the Cardinals as a business to be thriving because that means they'll be more active, not just in free agency, but I'm sure this has been covered on your show. They need to beef up the development, the instructional staff. Parts of the Cardinals that used to thrive were dumbed down a bit because they extended their budget on the player side. Now, I'm obviously going to make the case that you should do both. You're the Cardinals, but it helps if they make money. So I think it looks like a really good business decision on their front to make sure that they're thriving here on the short term and not losing a ton of money like some of these other teams are.
I don't know what it's going to look like this upcoming season. I don't think it's going to be quite as bad as some people think it's going to be. But in the long term, as they do redevelop player development, and they've got guys like Heim Bloom and Rob Serfolio who are now in the organization, it feels like they've got the right guys with the right track record to come in and fix those issues that you alluded to. From what you know about those two guys, and obviously Bloom has a long history between his time with Boston, but also more importantly, his time with Tampa, are those the right kind of guys for this organization?
Yes, 1,000,000% yes. I think the Cardinals were ahead back in the day. It's not that far back, but when Jeff Luhnow was a part of this organization. And sure, he's definitely had an interesting career. You can track plenty of what he did over in Houston, but I think he was a star in certain aspects of the Cardinals organization, and then they were missing that for a while. I think Chaim Bloom's definitely going to bring that kind of vibe to the table, just in terms of information, technology, and just being ahead of the curve instead of right now what appears to be behind the curve. And you're right, he had a ton of success with Tampa Bay. And I'll quickly tell you the story in terms of what I think happened in Boston. The Red Sox suddenly have a stacked farm system, especially at the top. They have four or five top-end prospects. I believe they have the most in Baseball America's top 100 right now. I think they definitely have the most in the top like 30 or 40. I'm talking about Boston. And who did that? That's Chaim Bloom. So the problem in Boston was he wasn't executing trades that he wants. He had to trade Mookie Betts away. Those are all ownership issues. He wasn't given a clear-cut budget, and he was told that they weren't going to give Mookie Betts the money that he needs. That wasn't his fault. His job was to rebuild from within. I think he did that really well, and now Boston's in a good position if they ever want to spend again. So if you get the same kind of roadmap with the Cardinals organization, I think St. Louis fans should be pretty pumped. He's really well-liked. He's been super successful. So, of course, you're going to need that last rung when you get to that point, as they're in a little reload or whatever the heck they're calling it out there right now to rebuild. Then you need them to push their chips in once we're, you know, another year or two from now. I don't think it's going to take long, Matt, also because in the AL Central and the NL Central, rebuilds happen quicker. It's just the way the competition is set up, and that's a good thing.
The feeling around here is, you know, Wilson Contreras seemingly sticking around. He's going over to first base. Sonny Gray seemingly sticking around. Most people believe that they're going to end up trading Nolan Arenado. If they do, what spots do you think would he fit in well?
I'll throw one out there today that we talked about on Foul Territory. Eric Kratz said, what about Philadelphia? It appears that Alec Bohm is on the trade block. I wonder if that's maybe a long-term fit for St. Louis and somebody that they could look to sign to a longer-term extension as well. I think he's got maybe 2 or 3 years left currently. It certainly would save a ton of money, but also you'd have to attach someone big. So Kratz in that deal was attaching Ryan Helsley. I think Helsley's a lock to be traded this offseason. He's coming off such a dominant year for St. Louis. And when you're not in a position to contend, you definitely want to trade your high-leverage relievers. They're super volatile. They're very valuable. So I think a deal like that sounds pretty cool. I think it's going to be tricky, though. I mean, maybe you could make a case for a team like Houston or the Yankees. Both very much need third basemen. I think Josh Chisholm's going to be a second baseman for the Yankees, depending on, obviously, where someone like Alex Bregman ends up. But they're going to have to eat a significant chunk of money just based off the season Nolan had. Even if you do believe that he's going to bounce back, I mean, that's not what the market's going to say, right? If you're on the other side of the conversation, they're going to be like, yeah, you're going to have to eat significant money based on him being a league average offensive player, even if you believe that he's going to bounce back. So there's a couple ideas. Do you like any of them?
I think Philadelphia makes sense if Nolan is willing to go east. He seems like he's got full no-trade clause, and he's a West Coast guy. Now, Philadelphia can sell him on the idea that they're not far from winning a World Series. So Philadelphia, to me, makes the most sense if he is willing to go play in that city.
Okay, and for me, the West Coast is a little tougher to figure out right now. I don't think the Dodgers are going to be a play. I know that's been the dream for him, but I don't see it. And even from the people that I'm connected with, it doesn't seem like that's a big target for them. And of course, LA is going to be wrapped up already in all kinds of payroll situations where they want to spend in other places. And also, I think Max Muncy actually had a really strong defensive postseason and World Series and proved that he can be a guy there still for a while. So I don't know. I don't really see LA. I mean, obviously San Diego's not a fit, so I'm trying to figure out where Nolan would be happy, but I truly believe, Matt, that they can sell Nolan on moving to another place that's going to be contending next year, because you do a reality check, you haven't won a World Series, you want that chance, you're 34, you've got a few seasons left on a contract. I think Nolan's going to be into being sold to go elsewhere. If, like you said, it's a team such as Philadelphia, they get rave reviews from their clubhouse, you're going to play with superstars, that's cool. That's a life experience. I think he'd sign up for that.
Last thing for you before we get you out of here. From a national standpoint, baseball's in a weird spot with a couple venue things. We know all about the A's and going to Sacramento, but now Tampa, they're going to have to play somewhere else for sure this next year, and now the city of St. Petersburg has to figure out if they want to spend $60 million on a roof for a team to play in a ballpark for 2 years. This is probably not what Rob Manfred wants to be dealing with.
No, and this should be the only problem, for the record, that the league's dealing with. We should not have two minor league ballparks hosting major league teams next year. Yeah. The Oakland situation's just an absolute disaster. This is a natural disaster, so I understand this. And if a team has to play for a year elsewhere, it is what it is. But you're right, it's strange, because that place is going to get knocked down. So you're like, are you going to spend all that money? And trust me, I'm never somebody who's going to give excuses to a league and owners and all of that when revenue's in the billions. But it does seem kind of like a waste. So I'm curious to see what they decide. I still think they're probably going to end up doing it. It's the responsibility of the city. They might fight it a little bit, but maybe ultimately that factors into what the new ballpark looks like. Maybe the Rays give in a little bit. What I've heard is some new politicians that have just taken over with elections down there that might actually balk at what that new stadium deal is. So it's pretty messy down there, but I have hope that they're going to figure it out and not end up playing in a minor league facility for you know, a few seasons. Because also think about this. There's enough devastation in that area, and I live in Orlando, so I'm nearby, that I could see them pushing back even the new ballpark plans by a year. I mean, don't quote me on it, but I wouldn't be surprised if that popped up just based on what's going on down there and the resources and how long it could take to build back up. So it's pretty messy, but that should be the only mess.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. Scott Braun, he is the host of Foul Territory. You can see it on all their social channels, on Twitter, on YouTube, and of course, you can see the cable linear version of it on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest as well. Follow Scott on Twitter, at Scott Braun. Scott, I always appreciate our conversations, and I'm sure we'll touch base with you again moving forward.
Yeah, great baseball talk. Matt, you're great. Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thank you. Scott Braun joining us here on the program, and we do appreciate him taking a few moments with us. When we come back, we're going to switch gears, and we'll talk some football as Patrick Mahomes does a weekly conversation with Carrington Harrison of our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. Of course, KMOX is St. Louis's home for Chiefs football, and we've got that conversation with Patrick Mahomes. That's going to be coming up in just a moment. Right here on KMOX. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Continuing to take you till 8 o'clock this evening. Tonight, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, it is the Gas House Gang. It's going to be Tom Ackerman and Kevin Wheeler on the program tonight from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, talking a lot of Cardinals baseball, but we'll get into the Blues a little bit, some college football as well, so that's coming up this evening, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. It's that time of the week where we hear from Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Each week, he does an exclusive interview with our sister station in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan with Carrington Harrison. The Chiefs, somehow, some way, they win again this past weekend, and they are just finding more and more unique ways to win football games, and that certainly was the case against Denver, a 16-14 win where they basically had a walk-off block of a field goal, looked like they were going to lose the game, and as Carrington Harrison started his conversation with Patrick Mahomes, the first question that was asked was kind of how this team keeps winning these close games in crazy, crazy kind of ways.
Man, it's just we just go out there and play football. I mean, obviously, it's been close games a lot this season, but that just speaks to the culture that we have here and the teammates that I have around me. I mean, it takes everybody, and I think that was the biggest thing you saw from this week is that we're going to fight to the very end.
It was kind of hard to avoid it, but I'm sure you saw a lot of the Broncos fan reaction. Did you get a chance to see any of that on social media this weekend?
I honestly haven't seen much of it. I'm sure they weren't too happy, though, so I'm going to have to go check that out after this.
Yeah, I was just laughing about it because, you know, there's some Chiefs fans that just, like, hate John Elway and hate Peyton Manning for always beating their team, and I was thinking this weekend, like, there is a Broncos fan, like, a kid right now, 11, 12 years old, and, like, you were their least favorite player because you always beat their team.
Yeah, I mean, I had certain guys like that growing up, too. You always want your team to win, and I try to go out there and have fun and do it the right way, but obviously it's going to upset some people when you beat their team a good amount.
Patrick, take us inside the locker room, because I'm guessing that was as spirited as hype of just a complete total team effort that you've been a part of.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think the biggest thing for me is I've never been a part of something like that. I mean, I've been a part of some walk-off wins and some big defensive stops and stuff like that, big field goals. But to have a field goal block, I mean, obviously we trust those guys and they go through their week and find ways to find weaknesses within the special teams. But that's just such a hard play to do. And so for a guy to make a big play in that moment to win the football game as a kind of a walk-off, it was something that I'll have for the rest of my career.
I was just going to ask you, where does that rank in terms of regular season wins? You guys have certainly had some great postseason wins. Maybe that win you guys had early in your career against the Ravens with the big pass play on fourth down. I'm just trying to think of what's an exciting regular season win that you think would even rival what happened on Sunday.
Yeah, there's not a lot. I mean, like you said, that Ravens win, just because – it was so early in my career. Maybe the Chargers one when Travis has the catch and breaks all the tackles in overtime and scores a touchdown. That one's up there. But definitely one of the bigger regular season wins as far as momentum swings and emotion swings and stuff like that. And so it was definitely a really cool moment, man. I mean, just to be a part of, and I think you saw by the celebration by everybody.
What is it about the Broncos? Is it just the fact that they are a division rival? It feels like you've just played them really tough for something happened. You know, you had a significant injury against the Broncos. Your first start was against Denver. Monday Night Football with the left-handed throw. You've just had so many of these moments in your career, and they normally seem to happen against Denver for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good franchise and a really good football team. I mean, they play hard the entire game. They're well-coached. They got great players, and we always know it's going to be a challenge, especially in division and especially against the Broncos, because you know they want to beat us as much as we want to beat them. And so it's definitely always a challenge, and there's been some big moments in my career, but I'm glad that we were able to find a way to get a win in this one.
Right now we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick, we are coming up on a month since the D-Hop trade. What have you learned most working with him over the course of the last few weeks?
Yeah, I think just the intelligence. I mean, he really is a football savant, man. He watches the little things. He really focuses on his craft, and that's what you want. I mean, not only on the football field, but in that room with all those receivers, is a veteran guy who's done it at a high level for a long time. And I think he's just gonna keep getting more and more involved in the offense, and that's gonna keep getting other guys open. We left some stuff out there, not just me and him, but just in general as the offense. This last week, and we got to be better at executing there, and they'll take our best this week against the Bills.
And you describing him, I hear a lot of the similarities in how you kind of approach football and how you see it. What's been the process like to kind of get him up to speed? Are you and him watching extra film? Are you guys working together? What is the process to get him acclimated to this offense since he joined midseason?
Yeah, it's just a little bit of all of it. I mean, he's been in the building, I mean, just as much as I have, just learning the offense, learning how we do things, learning how we coach things. And then learn how I see the game as well, and I try to do the same for him. And whenever you get a guy mid-season like this, it's about getting him up to speed as fast as possible, and I think we've done a good job of that so far. But he'll continue to learn more and more each and every week, and I think that's a big thing for us as an offense going forward.
You mentioned a couple of missed throws from the last game. What's the throw when you went back and watched film? You're kind of like, that's one I should have made.
Yeah, I think the one to Trav was probably the biggest one, just because of the moment of the game, and then he was open, so just getting the throw down a little bit and letting them get a chance to go up and catch it in the back of the end zone, it just puts our defense in a better spot where they're not having to guard against a field goal and a touchdown, where they know what the Broncos need to get to, and they can coach that way. That was big. I mean, obviously the one to Worthy, I mean, you want to hit those deep ones. We've missed a couple of those these last few weeks, but kind of that was more of an off script, kind of going one way and kind of saw him beat his guy and try to make the throw, but still throws I believe I can make.
I was going to ask you about the Worthy play. You guys have missed that the last couple of weeks. Is that related to his speed? Is that timing wise? You guys have been unable to connect these last couple of weeks in those big home run swings, and that's the kind of player that he is. What needs to change? Maybe it's in your fundamentals. What needs to change to connect on those passes in the future?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, I just got to make the throw. I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, he's getting open. He's getting separation, and that's what we got him here for. And if I make the throws, he should have probably three or four more touchdowns. So it's about me just being better and making the throw.
What is that process like? Is it film? Because I remember earlier in the year when you and I talked, you kind of talked about your base and your fundamentals. Is it kind of getting back to some of those things, or is it something else?
I think it's just, I mean, it's just playing ball. I mean, like in that one, it's a difference whenever it's kind of within the structure of the play, and I see him, and I try to make the throw and make the touchdown throw, which has happened this year, but that's happened good and bad. But whenever the play pops, and he might not be necessarily the main read, and kind of like this one this last weekend, and I see him, I got to be able to set my feet up and make the throw and keep it in bounds and give him a chance. And I thought he did a great job stacking on the red line and giving me room to make the throw, and I threw it out of bounds.
Right now we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, here for a couple of minutes. Patrick, one thing I've learned from talking to you over the years, you always say, you know, it's the NFL. You don't need any extra motivation. This feels like the game that embodies that more than anything. You got the two best teams in the AFC. You went there last year in the postseason. You guys always play these tightly contested games. You know what you're heading into on Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I don't think there's any extra motivation. I think you just know it's going to take your best in order to win this football game. You're playing against one of the best teams in the NFL, the team that you played a lot of times and know every single time it seems like it comes down to the wire. And we're going to be in a hostile environment. So we understand that it's going to take our best football in order to get the win. And that should be enough motivation in itself.
You mentioned it last year, sort of embracing the villain. Where would you rank Buffalo in terms of just hostile environments? You know, that image of you running off the field and fans are loud, they're throwing things, and you're running off celebrating a win. Where would you kind of rank Buffalo in some of the toughest environments that you've played in?
Yeah, I mean, pretty simple. I mean, they don't like me a lot, and they don't like the Chiefs a lot, so I'm sure it'll be pretty hostile out there.
What is it like to be, I guess, perceived as the underdog in this one? You guys are the favorites. You guys are the two-time defending champion, but there's going to be a lot of people that pick against you this week. What's it like to be perceived as the underdog heading into this game?
Yeah, I mean, you don't pay attention to most of those things, especially during the regular season. I mean, it's week to week in this league, and it just kind of depends on if you played good the week before or not. And we feel like we didn't play our best football the week before, but at the same time, we have to find a way to play our best football this week if we want to get a win.
You guys always talk about your goals, you know, taking care of the division, making sure that you have the one seed. I don't have to tell you how important this game is in locking up that one seed conversation, and it goes a long way beating a team that is directly behind you in the standings. How important is it to you? How important is it to this team to make sure that the AFC Championship game is played again in Arrowhead?
Yeah, it's extremely important. I mean, obviously, it wasn't last year when we were able to get it done, but just to have that advantage of being at Arrowhead, being home, being able to rest your body for that week with the bye week, I mean, there's definitely advantages to it, and it's an important game as far as seeding and stuff like that goes. But it's a long season, so we've got to keep building and keep getting better and try to take care of business this week. But at the same time, we have to just focus on today, and that's all we can do.
I've got two final questions, and I'll get you out of here. Two questions I've never asked you before. You guys are going to Buffalo, home of the Buffalo Wings. When it comes to chicken wings, are you a drums guy or a flats guy?
I'm a flats guy for the most part, but I like them both. I'm not picky at all. Like, whatever I get, and I'm just going to devour them.
That's kind of where I am with chicken, too. People always say, it's like, bro, I just like chicken. Like, you eat the drums, I'll eat the flats, whichever one. As long as the chicken's good, I don't care.
That's 100%. I'm the same way. Like, I know people are super picky on which one they're getting. Whenever I get wings, I'm just grabbing what's there and I'm eating them.
All right, I'm going to give you my favorite three wing flavors, and I want to know what yours are. I'm going to go lemon pepper one. I like a good, like, Cajun rub, Louisiana rub, and I also like garlic parmesan. Whenever you're ordering wings, what are your three favorite wing flavors?
Yeah, first, like a barbecue, honey barbecue. I mean, I always love that. I know it's kind of original, but I like that. I like the regular, like, hot, just like regular hot wings, and then I would probably say garlic parmesan's my third one. But I'm not, same thing, man. I'll eat a lot of different flavors of wings. That's just kind of the three go-tos I go to.
If you guys had a wing competition, like, in the locker room, like, every player's there, who can eat the most wings in, like, a 10-minute setting, like Joey Chestnut style, who wins the contest?
Trey Smith, no doubt.
Hands down. You didn't even hesitate on that one.
No, right when you started answering the question, I knew who I was answering.
That's the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today as they get ready for one of the biggest matchups in the regular season, Chiefs and Bills. Patrick, man, great talking to you, man. Appreciate your time as always.
Yeah, appreciate you.
That is Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes speaking with Carrington Harrison and our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. We are St. Louis's home for Chiefs football right here on KMOX. And each week we bring you that conversation where you can hear from the Chiefs quarterback exclusively. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this edition of the program. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap things up on this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. And I thought it was interesting. We touched on this a little bit with Scott Braun earlier on the program. But just, man, this situation with the Tampa Bay Rays, I don't know what the right decision is here, because they're not going to be able to play at Tropicana Field this upcoming season. We know that. They're not going to be able to have the roof fixed. But talk about a darned if you do, darned if you don't situation. They certainly have that going forward, because they've got the brand new ballpark that's being built and is going to be ready for 2028. Are they really going to fix the roof at Tropicana Field for $56 million so the team can play there for 2 years? Is that really a good use of money? And especially already, you know, the St. Petersburg City Council is going to speak about this coming up during their meeting later on this month. But they are trying to spend a lot of money to fix a lot of things that were connected to the hurricane. And while it seems like everybody is very much in favor of the Tampa Bay Rays in that area, whether or not public money, because that ballpark is not owned by the Rays. That ballpark is owned by the city of St. Petersburg. So it's really up to them. There is some insurance on it, so they wouldn't be on the hook for all $56 million. One report, though, had them being on the hook for at least $22 million. I wonder if Major League Baseball steps in and puts some money into this, because they don't want a team playing in a minor league park for 3 years. But you know what? That might happen with the A's, as they play in Sacramento. They still don't even have a ballpark deal done for Las Vegas. They're still trying to work that out. And man, until signatures are on the dotted line and shovels are in the ground, I don't know if I believe that the Las Vegas thing is actually going to happen. At this point, it's probably better than a 50% chance that it does happen in Las Vegas for the A's, but I don't know how much more than a 50% chance it is. So baseball's just got some interesting stadium issues right now when you think about the A's in Sacramento and the Rays playing at one of the various minor league parks. So you have two Major League Baseball teams playing in minor league stadiums for the foreseeable future, for at least, you know, for one team for the foreseeable future, for another team at least 1 year, maybe more. That's not great, and that does have implications, because at some point in time Major League Baseball is going to expand. They're going to add a couple teams, and they're going to get to 32, and they're going to go to the pod system and do all of that we've talked about on this show. But they can't really get into expansion until the long-term homes of their current teams are fully settled. And you've got a couple things that are up in the air now with the Rays and with the A's. And they're closer. I mean, the Rays have a ballpark being built. The A's have a potential home, but we'll have to wait and see. All right, up next, we've got the Gas House Gang. That, of course, rolls your way every weekday night here at 8 o'clock on KMOX. If you're not familiar with the Gas House Gang, I would encourage you to be listening in for the next hour. You can also watch the show live at 12 noon every day via the various KMOX Sports and KMOX News social media channels. So we're talking Facebook, we're talking YouTube, we're talking Twitter. Like, for example, today, I'm not on the show today. We have different host each day. On Monday, it's the four of us, myself, Tom Ackerman, Kevin Wheeler, Bernie Miklas. So we do that on Mondays. And then for the rest of the week, we go into pairs. So for example, today it is Kevin Wheeler and Tom Ackerman. That's who you're going to hear for the next hour. I'm sitting in my home office doing some work this afternoon. I bring up the YouTube app on my television, and there's Kevin and Tom looking at me and talking sports. So that's how I take it in on days that I am not co-hosting the program. And again, we rerun it each night at 8 o'clock here on KMOX. So hopefully you'll enjoy that a lot. Baseball conversation. We talk Cardinals baseball every single day, no matter what. It doesn't matter what else is going on in the world of sports. Every single day, we talk at least a little bit of Cardinals baseball. And then some days we get into some other things. Some days it's nothing but Cardinals baseball for the entire 40 or so minutes when it's live. And yeah, that's going to be coming up next. So Kevin Wheeler, Tom Ackerman, the Gas House Gang, that's on the way next. I'm back with you tomorrow for another Graybar Sports Open Line 6-8 here on KMOX.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.